Now, will you notice, verse 15, he follows on. He saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And God said to him, I'll show it to you, Moses, but I'm not going to show it to you because you are Moses. You know, Moses might come and say, well, I want you to show me your glory because I'm leading the children of Israel out. I'm a pretty important fellow around this place. God says to him, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I'll do this for you, not because you're Moses, but because I'm God. And you know why he saved me? Not because I'm Vernon McGee, but because he's God. And he made the choice, and I just bowed before him. Verse 16 now, listen to this. This is important also. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, God's mercy is not extended as a recognition of human will, nor is it a reward of human work. Human willing and human working are not motivating causes of God's action. Man thinks that his decision and his effort caused God to look with favor upon him. This is not a denial of human responsibility. I think that Stifler stated it succinctly when he said, willing and running may indicate the possession of grace, but they are not the originating cause. God extends mercy, and he does it because he's God, friends. And who are you to question him? I bow before him today. Now, the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God says he used Pharaoh, but somebody says he was not elected. He sure wasn't. Just think of the opportunities God gave him. And he would have told you, I'm Pharaoh. I make the choices around you. I make the decisions. I reject letting the children of Israel go. God says, you may think you will, but you're going to let them go. God's will is going to prevail. But may I say to you, Pharaoh made his own decision, and all that God did, and I'll not go into all this as I did in the book of Exodus, God made these decisions on one basis and one basis alone. My friend, he brought this man and made him make the decision that was in his heart. God forced him to do the thing that he wanted to do. No lost man is ever forced to do the thing he doesn't want. There'll never be a person in hell that's not there because they chose to be there, my friend. You are the one that makes the decision. This is something that is tremendous. When man goes the length of making to himself a God whom he affects to bind by his own rights, God then puts on his majesty and appears in all his reality as a free God, before whom man is a mere nothing like the clay in the hand of the potter. Such was Paul's attitude when acting as God's advocate in his suit with Jewish Phariseeism. This is the reason why he expresses only one side of the truth. And then here is Nagel's tremendous poem. You cannot put one little star in motion. You cannot shape one single forest leaf, nor fling a mountain up, nor sink an ocean. Presumptuous pygmy, large with unbelief, you cannot bring one dawn of regal splendor, nor bid the day to shadowy twilight fall, nor send the pale moon forth with radiance tender. And dare you doubt the one who's done it all? And the thing that's important is God is God. And you won't change that, my friend. And now Paul uses this expression of the potter and the clay. God is the potter. We're clay. God took man out of the dust of the earth and formed him. And he didn't make a monkey. Man made a monkey of himself, but God didn't make him like that. And God is the one that is in charge today. He's God, my friend, and he rides triumphant in his own chariot. And he's not stopping for your green light or man's green light today. Oh, to follow his chariot today.